All right, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3. I want to share a thought that was helpful to me recently from that chapter. My clicker is not working. I'm beginning to think it's me, not the clicker. Boom, there you go. All right, we're going to look at that verse particularly, but back up to verse 1 for the context. 1 John 3, 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. You know, I've used this verse before in the past when studying with people to define sin. I think it's a helpful verse. Sin is lawlessness. It is a transgression of the law. I think that's true. Do you understand sin? At the end of verse 4, it's a cold, hard fact. Sin is lawlessness. But listen to me. Even the heathen do that. Even the atheist who doesn't give a thing about God does that. In fact, that's his greater point. If you're in Christ, you seek not to live in sin or follow the devil in any way. And, you know, maybe we say, I did wrong. And that's okay. But that's a limited view. If you view it simply in terms of right, wrong, do, don't do, you're viewing God as a judge or a master. And that is true. You can look at passages that discuss that at detail. But there's more. Is God aloof from our sin? Is he just back from it and he just, when it comes through, he just stamps on it like a report guard? That's wrong. That's wrong. And it's a judge and that's it. What am I referring to this morning? I'm referring to this concept in the scripture that I want us to grasp of holy friendship. Holy friendship. Is it irreverent to speak of God, the Father, the King, as our friend? Look at James. Go over in your Bibles just a couple pages back. James chapter 2. We're going to back up to verse 21 and focus on 23. James 2, 21. Look at what the text says about Abraham. James 2, verse 21. Was not Abraham our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Three times in scripture, Abraham is called a friend of God. You remember the passage that we referenced in Exodus 33 when Moses sets his tent outside the camp and it says he met there with him face to face as a man does his friend. God, our friend? John 15. Look at John 15. John 15, Jesus has this beautiful passage of scripture for us to consider of what he says to the apostles and what our hope is as well. John 15, let's back up to verse 13 for the text. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I've made known to you. Wow, the King of the universe that all creation praises around the throne says, I want you to be a friend. You know, I broke the law one time in D.C. I was driving through a really fancy area, and I worked in that area for a little while, and that around the city, and I'm driving through, and I'm taking in the sights, you know, and I get home, a month goes by, we lived in Delaware at the time, a month goes by, and I get something in the mail, and it's a nice, beautiful picture of my van with the license plate, and it says, you were speeding in this area, and I had no idea. When I got that piece of mail, do you think I cried? Do you think that I was moved emotionally, maybe in a little bit of frustration at myself? But do you think that, you know, I had this real sensitive situation in my heart for it? No, I just paid it and moved on. You know, I didn't disappoint the police. I didn't disappoint the judge. I paid it and moved on. I broke the law. Did wrong, paid it, moved on. Now, I'm not smart enough to come up with this quote, but I'm going to say it twice. I want you to listen to this quote. A law is only law until it is the desire of my friend. A law is only law until it is the desire of my friend. When we see God as our friend, sin becomes deeper than just right or wrong. One writer said this, what would we say about somebody who came to neglect or deceive or hate the kindest lifelong friend they ever had? And who, when the facts were pointed out to him, he said, well, that doesn't worry me in the least. What would we think of ourselves if we had done this? But we have done it. It's the very meaning of sin. Sin is turning our back in scorn on all that God has been for us. And this is what the prophets kept saying to Israel. Remember, he says in Isaiah 65, he says, all day long, I stretch out my hands to a rebellious people. We can focus on the rebellious part, but focus on the stretching of the hands, receiving them, wanting them. Look at Ezekiel 6 with me. Go back in your Old Testaments to Ezekiel 6 and verse 8. Here, God is judging Israel for its idols in an impending destruction on Jerusalem, and before that happens, he says, this is what's going to happen around all the high hills where you have all of these altars built. Look at Ezekiel 6 and verse 8. Let's look at verse 7. The slain shall fall in your midst, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Yet I will leave a remnant so that you may have some who escape the sword among the nations when you're scattered through the countries. Now, what is that remnant going to do? Then those of you who escape will remember me among the nations where they're carried captive because I was crushed. I was crushed by their adulterous heart, which has departed from me. And by their eyes, which played the harlot after their idols, they will loathe themselves for the evils which they committed in all their abominations. They crushed his heart. Do you see God that way? That you've crushed his heart? That you've committed adultery? That you've rejected him? Not his law. Him! And then we get to a passage like Ephesians 4:20 or 4:30. We're not going to flip there, but you know it. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And we have all these philosophies about what that... This is what it means. Don't make God's Spirit sorrowful. Don't hurt him. Don't hurt the Lord. Love him. He's your friend. He's your father. Don't hurt your friend. God's law came for our good and from God's will to have a relationship with us, not a scorecard. It didn't come because he wanted a scorecard. It came because he loved us and wanted what was best. And when we see that, our prayers will change. Our prayers and our lives will change. When we truly see this concept of holy friendship, are we going to ask this question? You think it's sinful to fill in the blank? Would you ask that question? Do I have to blank as a Christian? But instead, we would ask the question, would it hurt him? Would it betray him? Will it please him? Will it make him proud? When we beg of his forgiveness, it's not, can you clear the scorecard? It is appealing to our friend to welcome us back. We've hurt him. We've betrayed him. Welcome us back. Please. And these thoughts move me to examine my heart. And I hope it's done the same for you. What about you? Have you continued in sin? Are you practicing sin? Quit it. You're hurting him. Have you been calloused of your own sin? Doesn't really matter to you. Stop. You're betraying him. Have you just been looking to do the bare minimum? Stop. You're using him. Holy friendship. Let us repent of an attitude that's any different than that. And you don't have to come forward to do that. You can do that right now in your heart. Seek to live in holy friendship with our God.